There is a commercial that has been airing on the radio quite often, it seems to me, that in which there is a woman's voice that comes on and says that she will never forget the day that her son Jeremy said, "I hate you," and slammed the door in her face. The commercial, of course, is a commercial for dealing with a change of behavior. And so they're trying to sell their course to parents as a way to change the behavior of your children so that you would not have them saying to you, "I hate you," and slamming the door in your face. But it seems to me that note that what they are working on here most likely is a change of behavior without a change of heart. And that's a dangerous thing, to change behavior without changing the heart. But this matter of hatred is all around us. And it's not that we are trying to just change behavior. We're trying to see hearts changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That Christ Himself is the one whom we should pursue, and that our hearts should be attuned to Him. Jesus uses that very strong word, hate, a number of times. And one of those times is in the passage before us. In this case, he's talking about the world hating him, and we who are united to him would also be hated by the world. And that's what he uses to describe attitudes towards him and towards his people. In fact, the way he sets it forth here is an indication that he sees that you are either going to be a Christ hater or you are going to be one who is hated with Christ. Now that may sound like it's a bit too strong, but that's the way Jesus sets it forth here. That there really is no middle ground between the two. That you are either a Christ hater or you are hated with Christ. Let's look at our passage for this morning then. John chapter 15. We'll begin our reading with the 18th verse and read on through the end of the chapter. John chapter 15, beginning with verse 18, as Jesus continues to speak to his disciples on that night in which he was betrayed, he might remind his disciples of their position as they enter into the new covenant now. Things are changing. There's a change of administration that is taking place. And that the disciples need to understand what all is happening as that change of administration takes place. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is what is written. This is to fulfill, rather, what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Counselor comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. May God bless to us the reading of this portion of his word and teach us from it as we consider it together before the Lord. The hatred of the world toward the Lord Jesus Christ is a real hatred. No doubt, if there are some who, if they had been able to hear what Jesus was saying on this particular night to his disciples, would have said, "You're paranoid, Jesus. You're finding difficulty where there is no difficulty. You're adding to trouble where there is no trouble." And certainly that's the attitude that you would find among many. In fact, there were people in Jesus' day who were saying that to him, who were ready to stone him. Jesus was not paranoid because he experienced this hatred. Remember how things were back in the 8th chapter of John's Gospel account? In the 39th verse, they're talking about Abraham being their father. And Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. And so, as we go on, they talk about him being a liar because no one's trying to kill him. And then when we get to the end of that chapter, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. On this very night, of course, as Jesus spoke to the 11 remaining disciples, these 11 were those who loved him and who would remain faithful to him in the years ahead. But on this very night, there was one who had been with them all this time. In fact, one who had gone out with them to proclaim the kingdom of God, who was at this very moment betraying Jesus. He was about to be arrested. There was a mob that was being gathered that would come out to the Garden of Gethsemane, or to the Mount of Olives at least, in order to find Jesus and to arrest him. They were ready for war. They wanted to get rid of this Jesus. And so, no, Jesus was not being paranoid when he said to his disciples, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. And so he's preparing his disciples for a hatred that they are going to experience. All of these disciples are going to die through persecution. They don't get to die in peace, as many of us will get to do, no doubt. They would die for their faith in Jesus Christ. And so the hatred of the world towards his disciples and towards you and me as his disciples is a hatred that is real. Persecution has continued throughout every century since the time of Christ. There have always been those Christ haters. In some nations today, it is a crime to trust in Jesus Christ. It is a crime to convert to Jesus Christ. It is a crime to proclaim Jesus Christ. A crime considered worthy of death. They are Christ haters. But it's not just those kinds of people that are considered Christ haters here by Jesus. But hatred is shown even in mere unbelief. The unwillingness to trust in Jesus Christ. The unwillingness to be confident in Him. The unwillingness to acknowledge Him to be the Lord of glory. The hatred of the world toward Christ is real. Of course, since they cannot get to Jesus Christ now as He has ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven, what do? They come after His people. That's what Revelation 12 sets before us very clearly. We can't get to this one. We cannot get to Christ. And so we go after His people. It's common, you see, to go after the leader of a group that is hated. That's why America went after Osama bin Laden. To try to get the leader out of the way. And that's why they've tried to deal with others who were in leadership in Al-Qaeda. So there was this attempt, of course, to get rid of Jesus Christ. And that happened throughout his earthly time. From the very time that He was born to the time that He was crucified. They were always trying to get rid of Him. And now they can't. So what do they try to do? Well, think of the attempts that were made on the life of the Apostle Paul. Remember what was done to James, the Apostle. He was the first of these martyrs, first of the disciples to be martyred. There was Stephen, who witnessed for Christ, and he was stoned to death. Peter was imprisoned and they were ready to kill him the very next day before God delivered him in the night through one of His angels, setting him free so that he might continue to proclaim Christ. This is going to continue. And so it is that you and I should not be surprised when there is hatred against us. Against those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus gives us here, in speaking to the disciples, He gives us a profile both of those who hate Him and of those who love Him. Let's deal with those who hate Him first. He gives us a profile of those who hate Him, and one of the things about them is that they love their own. If you belong to the world, it would love you as it loves its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. They love their own. As you think of your own life, what is it that you love? Because you see, in the world there are various attitudes that we find very clearly stated, others that are more subliminally given to us. What is it that you do when it comes, for example, to fashion? What is it that you love? Is it that you love the way the world deals with fashion? What about other areas of activity? Are you loving the world the way it loves its own? What about your own attitude towards not just fashion, but sports and towards all sorts of things that you find in life? You see various attitudes such as having to have the latest gadgets, the most expensive, to be where people will look at me and say, ah, look how wealthy he is. He must be doing something right. The world loves its own. They join in persecuting God's people. They join in persecuting God's people. Now, that couldn't be true of any of us, could it? Or could it? It often happens that there is infighting, even in the church. As I think of the political parties in this country, the two main ones, what do you see? Infighting. The more moderate Republicans crying out against the more conservative Republicans and vice versa. We're hearing more and more now about some congressional Democrats disagreeing with the president. It happens in the church too, where we don't like the way this one does or that one. And so we end up with a variety of denominations. And the difficulty that there is because of infighting. There's an old joke that's really not so funny when you think about it, about the two men who were shipwrecked and ended up on an island, and when they were found, there were three church buildings there. Why? Well, this one couldn't agree with that one, and so he built his own church building, and he built his own church building. And then one of them couldn't even get along by himself, and so he went and built another one. There's that attitude, that we cannot get along with one another. And so we end up with all these different denominations. We don't see ourselves as united with one another in Christ. They're unwilling. Another aspect of this profile of those who hate Him is that they're unwilling to receive the Word of God and to acknowledge the works of Christ. You can tell some people clearly, here's what the Scriptures say, but they won't believe it because they don't have that undying commitment to the Scriptures. And even if God has done something, they won't believe it. Think of how many in the Church of Jesus Christ nowadays are saying, Jesus never rose bodily from the dead. Jesus could not have been born of a virgin. These are people in the church who are saying this. And so they think not of the work of the Spirit of God. They forget about the Spirit of God because instead of receiving the Spirit of God, they are devoted to such things as reason, being able to reason everything out for themselves without the help of the Spirit of God. Now certainly God has given us minds and we are to use those minds for His glory. But it's not that we understand everything by reason. Excuse me, but rather that we recognize the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, and unless God by His Spirit changes us, changes our hearts, we will not believe the gospel. There are many in the church even who are satisfied with mere doctrine and not with pursuing Christ. And if that's all they're into, Jesus counts them haters of Christ. Well, the profile of those who love Christ, of course, is just the opposite, for the most part. But we begin by noting that they are those who have been chosen by Christ. They have been chosen by the Father. You do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Well, you say, okay, it didn't work in me, so I must not be chosen. I actually had a young fellow say that to me. He had been in the church, and he knew about the doctrine of election. And so he said, well, I guess I'm not chosen because I really don't feel it in my heart. That's not for you to decide whether you've been chosen or not. Your duty is to come to Christ. Your duty is to pursue Him, to know Him, to know that He is the one living and true God, and to know that in Him and only in Him is everlasting life. You see, if you take the attitude, well, I don't know whether I've been chosen or not, and so what can I do? Then you're saying you have no responsibility, whereas the very fact that you are in the condition of death is because of your own sinfulness, because of the sin of your own heart. It's not for the disciples to say, okay, I don't know whether I've been chosen or not. In this case, Jesus tells them plainly, you are chosen. I have chosen you out of the world. But it's their duty to pursue Him because they know they belong to Him. Certainly, as we look at the days ahead and see what Peter is about to do, you might wonder, did he know that he was chosen? How could he go ahead and deny Christ? So those who love Him are those who are chosen, but that's not what their concern is. Their concern is to pursue Christ. They are those who are separated from the world to Christ, whose attitudes conform to Christ and His Word, whose actions are performed in order to accord with His will. They're willing to be persecuted by Christ. Well, as you think of this, the question obviously comes up, why would I want to be with Christ if indeed I'm going to have to be persecuted? Who wants to go through persecution? None of us wants that. I don't want it, and I don't want it for you either. But it happens. It happens because we are in a world where there is sin. And we are going to face persecution. Frankly, we don't face it quite so severely as it's faced in other countries. But we are facing it here. Think of the lawsuits that have been entered into by, for example, Geneva College, because the government is trying to force them to have a health insurance that provides for abortifacients, to allow for abortion. And they're saying, you have to buy that. Apparently, it is possible, that they will allow certain groups to not have such a thing, but not all Christian businesses will be exempt. Yes, there is persecution that we must face. How are we going to stand up to it? We believe the Word of God. We believe the truth of His Word. And we are to remain faithful to it. We know His works. We know what He has done. We know that His Word is true. And so we bear witness to Christ. Why then do we go through with this matter of persecution? It's because we know that it's far better with Christ to be hated by the world than to endure the wrath of God for all eternity. At the end of this passage, Jesus says to his disciples, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." Here you know the truth. Here you know what is right. Here you know the comfort that is given by the Lord God, because it's given to you by His Spirit. And so we are to be those who live in the Spirit of Christ, who have been given His Spirit in order that we might know Him and walk with Him. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, we are taught in verse 16, "Live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Let me read that again. "Live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." This is the matter of being separated from the world, not loving its own, but rather loving the things of God, the things that are pleasing to Christ. We have been given the Spirit of God that we might know the Lord our God and that we might walk in Him. Obviously, Jesus considers it to be much better with Him than apart from Him. And so He calls us to join Him, to be united to Him. Back at the beginning of the chapter, remember He said, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. My Father is the gardener. And He cuts off every branch that does not bear fruit. Anyone who does not remain in Me, who does not bear fruit, and you're to be cast out. You're to be destroyed. You aren't likely to be thinking of yourself as a hater of Jesus. But when Jesus says the things that He has said here in the passage before us, He indicates that you are either a Christ hater or one who is hated with Him. Remember, Judas was one who was among His disciples, who was with Him, who was hearing Him, who even went out with those disciples when they went on a tour of the area in order to proclaim the kingdom of God. These are people in the church. It's possible to find yourself going about doing these things and yet being a Christ hater, as far as Christ is concerned. I remember reading the story of a young lady who went out testifying for Christ, and there were people who were even converted through her testimony. And a short time later, she told her parents that she wanted nothing to do with Christ. 4 years later, Christ took hold of her and drew her to Himself. But here she had been outside of Christ, declaring the gospel, and yet was actually a Christ hater. It's necessary that we shun the world in order to serve Christ and to recognize that we must aggressively pursue Him. You cannot love Him without obeying Him. And you cannot obey Him without loving Him. But it's necessary that you then turn to Christ. You see, many people are trying to turn to a set of rules. If only I obey the commandments. And this is basically where the Jews ended up. They set up all these rules, some of them outside the Scriptures. And they thought, if only we do these things, we shall have peace with God. Don't turn to a set of rules. Don't even turn to your membership in the church. You are to turn to Christ and to Him alone. Don't turn to a particular people, but to Christ, because He alone is your salvation. It's as you are united with Him that you have everlasting life. And it's far better to be hated with Christ than to be without Him and to endure the wrath of God, which is far greater than the wrath of the persecutors who would come against you. Don't leave today here as a Christ hater. Be sure that you are in Him. Because Christ haters will end up in an eternal hell. Remember who He is. Remember what He has done. How He graciously came to give you life, knowing that you would be hated. Knowing that He would be hated. There is cause for you to be hated as far as the world is concerned. There's really none, though, for Him to be hated. Because what He has done has been very gracious. He never sinned. But He calls you to Himself. He calls you to repent that you might be united to Him and enjoy His presence forever. Psalm 69 is one of the Psalms of the Cross. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 69, the A selection.